Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinda Shyama Kunda Radha Kari Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadap Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrindi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakti Vrindi Ki Jai Go Premanandi All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Chikaranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Prasadane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paschata Desha Tadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. We're reading from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 6, verse 9. Gograhe Shupaman Saktam Atmanam Ajitendriya Sneha Pashar Didhar Padham Utsahe Davimochitam. Griheshu, to household life, Puman, man, Saktam, very much attached, Atmanam, his own self, the soul, Ajitendriya, one who has not conquered the senses, Sneha Pasai, by the ropes of affection, Dridai, very strong, Buddham, bound hand and foot, Utsaheta, is able, Vimochitam, to liberate from material bondage. Translation, what person to attach to household life due to being unable to control his senses can liberate himself? An attached householder is bound very strongly by ropes of affection for his family, wife, children, and other relatives. Purport, Prahlad Maharaj, his first proposal was Komara Acharat Pragyo Dharman Bhagavataniha. One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of life from the very beginning of life, and other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. Dharman Bhagavatan means the religious principle of reviving our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this purpose, Krishna personally advises Sarvadharman Parichaja Mamikam Sharanam Vraja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. While in the material world we manufacture so many duties in the name of so many isms, but our actual duty is to free ourselves from the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. For this purpose, one must first be liberated from material bondage, and especially from household life. Household life is actually a kind of a license for a materially attached person by which to enjoy sense gratification under regulated principles. Otherwise, there's no need of entering household life. Before entering household life, one should be trained as a brahmachari, living under the care of the guru, whose place is known as Gurukul. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasantanto Guru Arhitam. From the very beginning, a brahmachari is trained to sacrifice everything for the benefit of the guru. A brahmachari is advised to go begging alms door to door, addressing all women as mother, and whatever he collects goes for the benefit of the guru. In this way, he learns how to control his senses and sacrifice everything for the guru. When he is fully trained, if he likes, he is allowed to marry. Thus, he is not an ordinary grihastha who has learned only how to satisfy his senses. A trained grihastha can gradually give up household life and go to the forest to become increasingly enlightened in spiritual life and at last take sannyas. Prahlad Maharaj explained to his father that to be freed from all material anxieties, one should go to the forest. Hitvatma patam griham andakupam. One should give up his household life, which is a place for going further and further down into the darkest regions of material existence. The first advice, therefore, is that one must give up household life, griham andakupam. However, if one prefers to remain in the dark well of household life because of uncontrolled senses, he becomes increasingly entangled by ropes of affection for his wife, children, servants, house, money, and so on. Such a person cannot attain liberation from material bondage. Therefore, children should be taught from the very beginning of life to be first-class brahmacharis. Then it will be possible for them to give up household life in the future. To return home, back to Godhead, one must be completely free from material attachment. Therefore, bhakti yoga means vairagya vidya, the art that can help one develop a distaste for material enjoyment. Vasudevi bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha janayat yasu vairagyam gyanam cha yadahaitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. If one engages in devotional service in the beginning of life, he easily attains vairagya vidya or asakti, detachment, and becomes jitendriya, controller of his senses. One who perfectly engages in devotional service is therefore called Goswami or Swami, master of the senses. Unless one is master of the senses, he should not accept the renounced order of life, sannyas. A strong inclination for sense enjoyment is the cause of the material body. Without full knowledge, one cannot be unattached to material enjoyment. But as long as one is not in that position, one is not fit to return home back to Godhead. What person to attach to household life due to being unable to control his senses can liberate himself? An attached householder is bound very strongly by ropes of affection for his family, wife, children, and relatives. So this continues the statement of the previous verse about becoming attached to family members due to unfulfilled desires, illusion, by which one becomes completely mad. So the problem with this attachment is that one becomes bound up, and it's very difficult to achieve liberation from that bondage. Now, of course, liberation in itself, in one sense, is not the goal. But the idea of liberation has another meaning as well. When we talk about getting liberated from bondage, it could be liberation in Brahman, moksha. But the other meaning, liberation, is that one attains the spiritual world, by which liberation is automatically achieved. So we should not think that the whole goal of detachment is simply liberation from the material world. The real goal is attachment to the Supreme Lord. So in the material world, we have the opposite situation. One is completely attached to material things. And in the spiritual world, we have the opposite of that. One is completely attached to the Supreme Lord. So the opposite conditions. The material condition is condemned completely in scriptures. That attachment to material objects, to enjoyment of the senses, is said to be bondage. Which means one gets tied up. One is not able to perform actions properly if one is tied up hands and feet. One cannot move around properly. So it's not a natural position for the jiva. So we may argue, well, the jiva in the material world is doing so many activities, he's not bound up. So there is apparently freedom in the material world, but there is invisible bondage. That is the bondage of karma. And we do not see that there is invisible limitations put upon our activities in the material world. We can do so many activities, but we don't necessarily get results for those activities because of that material bondage. So in that sense, it is said in Bhagavatam that your happiness is already designated in this life. So why strive for more happiness? Due to karma, you have a limit on the happiness of this lifetime, material happiness that is. So no matter how hard you work, you can't get any more happiness than what is allotted to you. You cannot get any more money than that allotment. And you work and work and work, still you don't get anything. So there's a limitation. So you appear to be doing activities, yes, but you don't get the results of it. So that is where the bondage comes in. You have all sorts of restrictions on you. Restrictions of the limits of the results of your activity. Limits on how long you can live. There's also suffering. You don't want the suffering, but you get the suffering. So that's unavoidable. So you're forced to get certain types of suffering. That is bondage also, limitation on the jiva. Things you don't want, you get. And things you want, you can't get. So both ways there's limitations. And what is the cause of that bondage is the ropes of affection, sneha, pasa. Pasa is rope. So the ropes of affection create this bondage in the material world. That means the cause of the karmas that we have is actions of attachment. So here's particularly talking about family life, a condemnation of family life. A person is attached to his family and he has ropes of affection which bind him to members of his family. And because of this, he does his activities. Those activities are all material, meant to support his family and please his family members. He may not be striving so much for his own enjoyment. He's striving for the enjoyment of his family members. So he works very hard and does many activities. This causes bondage in the material world. So a jiva must do activities. The nature of the jiva is karta, a doer, an agent. He acts. So he has a choice of his actions, but he must act. So in the material world, the jiva acts for pleasing himself and pleasing his objects of affection. This causes bondage in the material world. There are two types of bondage, or three types actually. You can be bound with gold chains, silver chains, or iron chains. Three choices. You can do certain types of activities which really cause bondage. You do vikarma, sinful activities, and you end up with a lot of bondage in the form of suffering and all this in your life. That is the iron chains. You can do mixture. Some sinful activities and some pious activities. Sometimes follow regulation of the senses, sometimes not. Then you get the silver chains, rajaguna. then you can regulate the senses even more and minimize the sinful activities, so the sin is actually mostly unintentional. Then, and you do more punyas. But this is also a cause of bondage, that is, gold chains. So in any case, one is bound up in the gunas. Guna also means rope. Pasa means rope and guna means rope. So one is bound up with three types of rope. Golden rope, and silver rope, and iron rope in the material world due to activity in the different gunas. Nevertheless, the jiva has to keep acting. So he'll act somehow within the gunas. And therefore we get these different results. More suffering, tamagun. Mixture, rajagun. More happiness, material happiness, satvagun. So this is the bondage in the material world. So he must act, and he acts in this way out of affection for his family members or for getting his own enjoyment. He only has these three choices. So it is very difficult to go beyond this. Why else would he do activities if it's not for himself or the pleasure of himself or his family members? Well, okay, we'll enlarge it. Well, let's do activities for humanity and society, humanitarian activities. One can go that far also. But that's as far as one can go, really. Of course, one can go a little further. Let's include humanitarian activities for animals and plants or something like that, maybe. Environmentalists and things like this, whatever. Save the animals or whatever. We can do other types of activities and go a little further. But all of this is still not related to the Supreme Lord directly, indirectly. Because the living entities or the jivas are amsa of the Lord, by doing at least punyas in relation to the jivas, it is better than doing papa, in which you afflict the living entities and cause problems for them. So therefore, in sattva-gun, one maintains material happiness. That is the reward for taking care of jivas in the material world. We get a reward of more happiness. This is still, one is forced into bondage in sattva-gun also by such activities. Of course, one can elevate oneself to svarga-loka or even up to brahma-loka eventually by more and more sattvic activities and more detachment. Still, one is bound in the material world. It is only by great fortune, very good good luck, that is the mercy of devotees, that one gets another alternative than acting in the material world. We see that atheists, ultimately, the only choice they have, if they're not going to be gross enjoyers, is to become humanitarian. That's as far as they can go. Okay, they can become sattva-gun at least, instead of raja-gun or tamagun. But they can't go any further. So the choice, the other choice is to act spiritually, not materially. If we act spiritually, we can destroy the bondage of karma. We can become free from that limitation. So, sattva-gun provides a platform for getting there. Sattva-gun means more sense control. So one who is in sattva-gun can very easily follow the varnashramic rules. And therefore he's allowed to go through all the ashramas up to sannyas. Because he can control his senses more. Sattva-gun automatically means less attachment to material enjoyment. Because he understands inner enjoyment, understanding Atma is higher enjoyment. So he becomes detached from all of this. So the Brahmana is supposed to be detached from his family. He can follow the rules and regulations very nicely and becomes detached, and therefore he becomes qualified for vanaprastha and sannyas. Those who are in lower gunas are not so qualified, so therefore they're not allowed to take sannyas. So Varnashram system provides some mechanism for getting to higher and higher detachment. Indirectly, it provides bhakti, because one must also worship the Supreme Lord. But it is a minor practice. So to make that bhakti practice the majority practice, the dominant practice, then we need a push from someone else. So that is where we get the mercy of devotees and inspiration of devotees who give us proper knowledge about what the real goal is. Not simply become detached from everything. Not simply break the bondage of karma. But establish a positive relationship with Krishna and act in that relationship. So this gives rise to an easier process of breaking the bondage of karma. Not by giving up all actions, is what the Gyanis and the Karmis, the Yogis try to do. Give up actions, give up mental actions, functions, etc. Instead, those who practice bhakti engage the body and the senses and the mind. So it's an easier process. And liberation is achieved without extra effort. And the reason is that bhakti invokes the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, very easily, he can destroy all your karma if he wants to. But what he's more interested in is the devotion, the amount of devotion in that jiva. And he tries to encourage that. And when the devotion is complete, that means a complete attachment to the Supreme Lord in all activities directed to the Supreme Lord, then there is zero activities for maya. Zero activities for family members out of affection, material affection, etc. Complete attachment to the Supreme Lord. So automatically, there's no cause for bondage in the material world. All of us activities, instead of creating more karma, the activities of bhakti destroy the karmas. Opposite effect. Activity directed for enjoyment creates karma. Activities directed for Krishna's pleasure destroy karma completely. So this is the solution. So therefore Prahlad is indicating that the children should start this when they are young. They should understand the importance of directing activities to the Supreme Lord for his enjoyment and not striving for material enjoyment in this world. Automatically by this process, what is supposed to be achieved in the Varnashram system is achieved by the process of bhakti. The process of the Varnashram system become detached. And therefore we have brahmacharis, vranapastas, sannyasis, and grihastas. And the whole idea is detachment. Some allowance for sense gratification in the grihasta ashram. But then give it up, become a vanaprastha or a sannyasi. So this is accomplished automatically by progress in bhakti. If one executes bhakti properly, it automatically one becomes more and more detached from family members, etc. One becomes more and more attached to Krishna. But we see that's not happening. Then we have to understand that our attachments are still there, they're not getting less and less, and the bhakti is not growing. And then we have to take some measures to increase the bhakti, by which those these attachments to family, etc. will decrease and decrease. So the usual, there's many reasons why the bhakti does not develop. One is aparāda. Another is just slackness and devotion, out of laziness or inattention or lack of knowledge or whatever. So there's many reasons for a blockage to the progress of bhakti. But nevertheless, we have to analyze and see that we are progressing. And then the result of that is we also become more satisfied. Just like in school, if the child is in class one and then he fails, I don't know, do they fail children in class one? Or class three maybe, and he keeps failing and failing and failing and failing. Then he, after a while, he doesn't want to go to school anymore. He just can't stand staying in the same place all the time, huh? So in bhakti also, if one has to stay in the same place, it doesn't progress, it becomes very dissatisfied. They get very frustrated. They say, why the process is not working? So therefore, progress should be natural for the jiva. More and more bhakti, and the symptom is less and less attachment to materialism, family members, etc. So each devotee is responsible for that progress. And therefore, it is said that the devotee is the gardener of the bhakti lata. And he must water the plant and care for the plant and pull the weeds out. We don't hire somebody else to do the job. Hire somebody to water our bhakti lata and pull out the weeds and give the sunlight and clean the plant, etc. No. Individual is responsible for development of his bhakti. He has to do something. Now, of course, it is not only individual effort, because the growth ultimately depends upon mercy. Mercy of the Lord coming through mercy of devotees. And that's how the bhakti develops. But the mercy will not come if we don't do the activities properly. So therefore, the devotee has to be very diligent to carry out the process very, very properly. He has to know how much water to put on the plant. He cannot neglect the plant of bhakti. And the, what is the watering? Hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. The angas of bhakti have to be done regularly, properly, not haphazardly, sometimes doing, sometimes not doing. Very, very regularly. Of course, it is also said that they do experiments with plants. And they find that if you have, if you bless the plants, then the plants grow quicker. If you curse the plants don't grow and they stunt and they die. So, similarly, if we're eager to participate in the process of bhakti, then it progresses. And if we're not really eager, we're very unenthusiastic and we have a distaste and we have to force ourselves to do it, then it's very difficult for the bhakti lata to grow. One must have some favorable attitude and some eagerness, enthusiasm, etc. Determination. These are favorable for the development of bhakti. Of course, the Lord is very merciful, and even people like Ajamil who have no favorability, no eagerness, no determination at all, just by accidentally chanting, get results. But this is not even to the level of bhakti. So, yes, you can also get some effect even if you can't do anything and you have a favorable attitude. But if you have more qualities of enthusiasm, determination, etc., then it becomes much easier. Otherwise, it becomes very slow. And one is bound to become discouraged by the slowness of the process. So therefore, we have to be responsible for our devotional development. We can't blame it all on everybody else if we're not advancing. We have to see exactly what we're doing in devotional service and see that it is done very properly. Jivas have free will. They have a choice of doing activities in the gunas and becoming bound up by the different types of chains. So that's not much of a choice, really. It's bondage in any case. But some people think gold chains are better, so we'll do sattvic activities. But it's still bondage. So it's not real choice in one sense. The real choice is not to choose those activities at all, but to choose to serve Krishna. That choice is big choice for the jiva. If he can make that choice, then he begins his process of getting out of the material world after billions and billions and billions of lifetimes of doing nothing, simply rotating in the material world. So when he chooses bhakti, then very good chance. And if he doesn't choose accidentally, then he also gets a little bit of progress in the right direction, like Ajamil. And after chanting accidentally, then he gets association and mercy of devotees, then he can progress or whatever. So bhakti in any case is good, but once we actually get faith and develop bhakti consciously, then it is a quicker process, much quicker and certain process for us. So here Prahlad is saying, therefore, from a very young age, the children themselves can't choose too well, but then it's a duty of the parents to encourage the children on the path of devotion and develop proper understanding of what is their goal in life. So, of course, in this case, it's teachers also. Don't have atheistic teachers like the sons of Sukracharya. We have to have devotee teachers instead to teach the proper things. So this is the instruction Prahlad is giving to his students. He is teaching them properly what is the real goal in life and what is the priority in life. So, somehow or other, by the mercy of devotees, people get the chance to partake of devotional service. Then it is the choice of the jiva to take up the process. Some will, some by misfortune won't, but even then, if they get contact with devotion, that is good for them also. So at least they can be exposed to something. But those who actually take, then they can develop quicker. That is, those persons are the object of preaching and getting more knowledge, and they can cultivate the seed of bhakti. No, they're all jivas. Jivas. All jivas. We have nitya siddha or nitya muktas, and then we have jivas in the material world called nitya bhadas. They're all jivas. Yeah. Yeah. Then beyond that, we get special categories like Radharani, who is the Hladini Shakti. The Swarup Shakti of the Lord, which is Antaranga Shakti. So she's the personification of Hladini Shakti. And so we get certain personifications of Shakti, expansions from the primary Swarup Shakti expansions. So we get Yogamaya Devi and, you know, Vrinda Devi and Sakis and so many things who are also part of that Shakti. So that's distinct from Tatastha Shakti Jiva. Yeah. No, that's a sadha. He's by sadhana, he gains his mukti. So he's a buddha jiva who becomes mukta. Buddha mukta. Yeah. Usually, if they have a strong position without too much endeavor, then yes, they must have done some punyas in order to get that. Less suffering, more enjoyment. So it's due to punyas in previous lifetimes. That doesn't mean they don't have to work in this lifetime. They may have to do something else, but at least they can very easily attain a large amount of enjoyment with minimum of endeavor. They can also waste it. They can spend all the money up also by foolishness. And that's how they destroy their punyas. Well, he gets the mercy of the Lord, then the Lord will control the senses, help him control the senses. Obviously he gives free will to the jivas. But the more one practices bhakti, the more the mercy the Lord gives, so that one's senses, if they are dovetailed in bhakti, are less likely to indulge in sense gratification, because bhakti itself means for the pleasure of the Lord, not for my pleasure. So the more one engages in bhakti, the less one engages in sense gratification.
Horses, the roofs of the houses. It's like a senses of the person. It's a spiritual place of the chariot driver. Will control.
Oh, you know, like the blinds on the horse. Actually, by performing, if we develop an attraction for the Supreme Lord, then that itself, and Krishna is the most attractive, then it's attraction to the senses, and then that attraction itself provides more inspiration to serve the Lord and not serve Maya. So the more one develops attachment and attraction, then the safer it is for our devotional progress with less disturbances. So one comes to Nishta and Ruchi and Asakti, that's where the attraction for the Lord becomes more. If one is an Anishta, then the Maya influences more and the attraction for Krishna is much less. So therefore that's dangerous because Maya can always influence. Previous lifetimes, yeah. Previous lifetime, both things are involved. Previous punyas and whatever may influence. And then the present life, environment, parents, associates will also influence. Both things are going to influence the child.
Hare Krishna.